commencements. Because we're focused far more on what's beginning than what's ending. On the future instead of the past or even the present. We're here in celebration because something beautiful and important is commencing. More than an exclamation point punctuating something concluding, it's meant to be the opening line of a new chapter, an exciting drama. Not just the vague first day of the rest of your life, but a mission given by Christ through His church. It's not a radical beginning, but one in community with the continuity with the great preparation you have received. Nevertheless, it's a real start, with all the excitement and the occasional human anxiety that a new stage in life brings with it. In one sense, you'll be leaving Mater Ecclesiae College and joining the ranks of so many other integre mulieres who have gone before you, who are already doing great things for Christ's kingdom and whose example has inspired you. But in another sense, all you're doing is changing physical campuses. The reason is because the whole church is a school of Mary. Every formational institute, every apostolic work, every parish setting, every Domus Mariae, a house of consecrated women, is meant in some way to find its identity in a relationship with Mary as Mother of the Church. We think of the various other famous campuses of Mater Ecclesiae College. The first was a one-room vocational school in ancient Nazareth. The second was outside the city gates of Jerusalem as a beloved disciple, representing all much-loved students, was admitted into the school with a full scholarship paid that day by the school's founder. A third campus was held in an upper room in Jerusalem that had an unforgettable commencement exercise full of strong driving wind and tongues of fire. Each of us attended another from the first days of our life in an alma mater ecclesiae that also doubled as a domestic church. And we give a special thanks today to the professors of love and wisdom who are our tutors there, particularly those who are with us today and those who can't be. And we know that from here, each of you soon to be graduates, just as those before you, along with your dedicated faculty members and so many others who studied and taught here, are going to be moving to other Mater Ecclesiae campuses all across the global university Jesus himself chartered when he said in his valedictory address, "Go and teach all nations." The Mater Ecclesiae curriculum, certainly on this campus and everywhere, has always sought to form the whole person, humanly, intellectually, spiritually, and apostolically. The aim here has been to help you to become an integra mulier, in the image of the integra mulier, God the Father chose to be the mother of His Son, and that Son from the cross chose to be our mother. A fully formed woman, a woman with integrity, a woman who's all there, a woman, to use the beautiful expression of St. John Paul II, who is a feminine genius, not because of an intellectual IQ, but because over the course of formation, you have grown a heart and been formed to grow a heart that has ears on it and that eyes on it, to see with love and to hear with compassion. And we give thanks to God, as well as to the Mother of the Church, for all the growth that has taken place in you here, as well as in Mary's school since the beginning. We ask the Mother of the Church in a special way, as you enter into the special form of graduate school you're about to commence, as you head out to your respective missions, to help you to become her capable teaching assistants, helping other women and men, girls and boys, grow up to be whole as well, by encouraging them to do what the Mother of the Church has helped you learn to do with enthusiasm and alacrity, namely, whatever her Son, the one master in the school of the Church, tells you. It's also fitting during these commencement exercises to give thanks for all the blessings God, through Mary's intercession, has given on this particular campus of Mater Ecclesiae in Rhode Island, both in Wakefield and in Greenfield, over the last 24 years. We know, as St. Paul teaches, that only three things ultimately remain: faith, hope, and the greatest of all, love. While in the history of the church there have been many Mater Ecclesiae institutions, apostolates, schools, parishes, and even whole dioceses that have served Christ's kingdom gloriously and fulfilled their missions. The faith, hope, and love that gave them their most essential characteristic and greatest fruit endures long after their earthly purposes have ended. Kohelet, in the book of Ecclesiastes, has told us that there's a season for everything under heaven. A time to build and take down. A time to laugh and weep. A time we could say to found and a time to close. But we know that the Lord remains the God of history. That Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Just as God permitted the sufferings of the early church so that the gospel might be proclaimed in the diaspora. Just as the Holy Spirit prevented Paul and Silas from proclaiming the gospel in Asia and Bithynia, precisely in order to open up the doors of the gospel to Macedonia and Europe. So God is permitting this campus to turn off its lights in order to open up other satellite campuses where the lights can be turned on for the integral formation necessary for the full flourishing of the baptismal consecration in the more intimate form of consecration under Mary's tutelage. There's something truly historic about these commencement exercises. It's not simply because they'll be the last taking place here. They're also the first. The first that have taken place within a year for consecrated life, because this is the first year for consecrated life in church history. An ecclesiastical holy year is meant to have an influence on everything that the church does during that jubilee, from the way it marks the major liturgical seasons, celebrates baptisms, weddings, and funerals, ordinations and professions, helps people to pray and sanctify their daily work, and just about anything else the church does and is. The year for consecrated life is meant to provide a particular focus to all church institutions, and in a special way, all Catholic educational settings. For an institution like Mater Ecclesiae that is so focused on helping young women to live out their consecration according to the example of Mary, the year for consecrated life has particular resonance. Right before this holy year began last November, Pope Francis published a letter to the consecrated men and women of the world, pouring out his heart about the graces he hoped the church would receive from this holy observance. The words he wrote are particularly significant, I think, for these commencement exercises taking place within the context of this year for consecrated life. Pope Francis said that the year has a threefold aim: to look to the past with gratitude, to live the present with passion, and to embrace the future with hope. We can receive a rich orientation for what's happening today from these three perspectives. We look first to the past with gratitude. We thank God for all the talents He's given you, especially the gift of Catholic faith and the desire He's implanted within you to live it to the full, to nourish that mustard seed and let it grow into a tree in which so many others are already able to take refuge. We give thanks for your parents and grandparents, for your godparents and teachers, for your siblings and friends, and for all who have played a very important role helping you to get to this day. Me gustaría decir unas palabras especiales de agradecimiento en nombre de Dios a los miembros de sus familias por todo lo que han hecho para nutrir y estimular los dones de la fe, de la inteligencia y de carácter en ustedes, para prepararles en la Mater Ecclesiae de sus hogares para tener hambre y beneficiarse de todo lo que ustedes han recibido aquí. Cuando miramos hacia el pasado con gratitud, queridos familiares de nuestras graduadas, ellas y nosotras miramos con agradecimiento especial por ustedes. We thank all those who formed you here at Mater Ecclesiae, passing on as of the first importance what they themselves received, not just in the classroom, but in the halls, in the dining room, in the chapel, on the sports fields, in the grotto, in your various apostolic assignments and other means. The School of Mary features this type of grateful memory for all that the Almighty has done for us in our lowliness, that never ceases to make our spirits rejoice and our souls magnify Him. Pope Francis wrote in his letter to the consecrated women and men of the world, recounting our history is essential for preserving our identity, for strengthening our unity as a family and our common sense of belonging. More than an exercise in archaeology or the cultivation of mere nostalgia, it calls for following in the footsteps of past generations in order to grasp the high ideals and the vision and values that inspired them. In this way, we come to see how the charism has been lived over the years, the creativity it sparked, the difficulties it encountered, and the concrete ways those difficulties were surmounted. He adds, we may also encounter cases of inconsistency, the result of human weakness, and even at times a neglect of some essential aspects of the charism. Yet, he stresses, everything proves instructive, and taken as a whole, acts as a summons to conversion. To tell our story is to praise God and to thank Him for all His gifts. That's the first thing we do today, to look to the past with great gratitude. The Holy Father is also summoning us to look to the present with passion. The commencement, the beginning we are celebrating, is something God wants us to do passionately, with inflamed hearts, with ardent-formed minds, and with tongues of fire. One of the things that has distinguished Martyr Ecclesia in all its campuses across the centuries and countries, but something that has marked this campus here in Rhode Island over the course of these last decades, is preparing women to live the Catholic faith with the zeal with which it deserves to be lived. The very word student means someone who is impassioned, fervent, eager. And we rejoice to see that avidity in each of you, something that stands out all the more in contrast to the indifference that marks so many today. The School of Mary, Mother of the Church, is one that prepares us with passion to go with haste to bring Christ to others, just as Mary did in the mystery of the Visitation that we heard in this morning's Gospel and the Church marks tomorrow, so that Jesus may make everyone from seniors exult and even infants in the womb rejoice. We thank God that you have been formed here in a hearth, in a fireplace, filling you with a desire to light the world ablaze. In his letter to launch the year of consecrated life, Pope Francis wrote about living the present with passion, that the year of consecrated life challenges us to do. He says, this year is an opportunity for us to examine the fidelity we have toward the mission entrusted to us. Are our ministries, our works, and our presence consonant with what the Spirit is asking? Do we have passion for our people? Are we close to them to the point of sharing in their joys and sorrows, thus truly understanding their needs and helping to respond to them? Then the Holy Father clarifies that to live the present time with ardor means to live it with others passionately. Living the present with passion, he says, means becoming experts in communion, witnesses and architects of the plan for unity, which is the crowning point of human history in God's design. In a polarized society where different cultures experience difficulty in living alongside one another, where the powerless encounter oppression, where inequality abounds, we're called to offer a concrete model of community, which by acknowledging the dignity of each person and sharing our respective gifts, makes it possible for us to live as true brothers and sisters. Pope Francis is calling you, dear soon-to-be graduates, and all of us in a particular way, to express our passion in the way we live out our communion with Him, with our companions, and with all those we seek to bring others into communion with the Lord. Christ's kingdom is one in which we, like the members of the Martyr Ecclesia campus in the early church, seek to have all things in common, to pray together, to eat together, to make pilgrimages together, to sacrifice for each other, and to do so not reluctantly, but passionately. It's a kingdom in which we lovingly take responsibility for each other, recognize that we are our brothers and sisters' keepers, and cross the hall or cross the road to sacrifice for those in need. You're supposed to be the commentary, the incarnation of Christ's prayer when he should have been thinking about his torments on the morrow, begging the Father three times, "Father, may they be one, just as you are in me and I am in you." We need to see a little glimpse of the Trinity in your community life. Wherever you live, it's really going to be a Domus Mariae. To live the present with passion means, in essence, to live community life with passion. To recognize that individual straws of flame eventually burn out, but when they burn together, they become a bonfire that can last no matter how strong the counterwinds. To live the consecrated life well, to live out our baptismal consecration well, is to live it passionately, to live it with a love that brings us into ever greater communion with God and others. That's something you've been formed here to do. The third element Pope Francis mentions is to look to the future with hope. Because of all God has done in the past throughout salvation history, because all of life is a litany, like Psalm 136, of all God has done because his mercy endures forever, because the Father sent his Son to be God with us, and Father and Son sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper and guide, because of all of this, we have every reason to approach the future with hope. To live with hope, as Pope Benedict told us in his beautiful 2008 encyclical, Saved in Hope, is to live with God in the world. In the School of Mary, Mater Ecclesiae et Mater Spei, we learn how to grow and live with hope constantly under the shadow of the Holy Spirit. It's this hope that gives us confident assurance and the proof of what we can't yet see. Especially in an age in which so many are living without the great hope that comes from God. When many in the church in the West are tempted to think that the church's best days are behind her. When Catholics can begin to feel overwhelmed before so many lost and wounded sheep. When they sense that they're woefully ill-furnished with only a few loaves and fish before a vast multitude starving for God. It's all the more important that Catholics live with the hope that can't disappoint, that you live with that hope that can never be extinguished. That's what the Pope is hoping all consecrated men and women, all Christians, will give the world. He wrote in his letter to begin this holy year that the hope with which we're called to live is not based on statistics or accomplishments. It's not based on numbers or efficacy, or endowments, or material means, but on the one in whom we have put our trust, the one who doesn't disappoint, the one for whom nothing is impossible. The devil is very interested in this talk, as he just gives me a little sign saying my iPad is overheating because of sign. Thanks be to God, there's always a backup. This hope that Pope Francis is calling us to is one that enables the consecrated life to keep writing its great history well into the future. It's especially important for you, dear graduates, to recognize that in your youth, you embody this hope for all the consecrated women looking toward the future. Pope doesn't want you to feel pressure as a result of the symbolism of the hope you bear, but just to be fully yourselves and share the hope that accompanies your creativity, enthusiasm, and excitement, offering, Pope Francis says, all the freshness and generosity of your yes. He urges you to engage in an active dialogue of gifts with those who have come before you, being enriched by their experiences and wisdom, while at the same time inspiring them by your own energy and enthusiasm to recapture their original idealism, their first love. In this way, he says, taking from the storehouse, old and new, the entire community of consecrated can join in finding new ways of living the gospel and responding more effectively to the need for witness and proclamation. The School of Mary, Mother of the Church, is precisely a school of hope, a hope that wasn't extinguished even when darkness fell across the land, even when earthquakes shattered rocks, opened graves, and tore temple veils, and when the light of the world seemed to have been put out permanently. Yet Mary knew that unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But to save lives, we needed to lose them. And so she never lost hope. And that hope wasn't disappointed. She's the great teacher of that hope, a virtue with which all her consecrated daughters, all the alumnae of her school, are called to specialize in summa cum laude. We remember well what happened after 3 years of formation and a final novena of spiritual exercises. The graduates of the Mater Ecclesiae campus of the Upper Room left to face the same people who had conspired to execute Jesus, the same mobs who had cried out for his crucifixion and for Barabbas to be released to them. Rather than being filled with dread, they were filled with hope. And we know that that hope doesn't disappoint. Pope Francis is calling you, alumnae of the class of 2015, to leave this Marian Academy with the same hope in what God can and still does accomplish. As you commence the mission for which Mater Ecclesiae has prepared you, you're doing so within the context of the missionary metamorphosis of the Church, the new evangelization that the Holy Spirit has inspired Pope Francis and all his predecessors since the Second Vatican Council to summon. How important it is for the entire Church to see enfleshed in you what Pope Francis called the joy of the gospel. It's here at Mater Ecclesiae that you did more than study that apostolic exhortation, but you were formed to proclaim it with your words and your life. You're being sent out as joyful messengers of challenging proposals, as guardians of goodness and the beauty of a life of fidelity. You are the ones who show that the Christian faith is a gift before it's a demand. You are the ones who are meant to show the world, as Pope Francis wrote so eloquently, that it's not the same thing to know Jesus as not to know him. It's not the same thing to walk with him as to walk blindly. It's not the same thing to hear his word as not to know it. Not the same thing to contemplate him, worship him, find our peace in him as not to. It's not the same thing to try to build the world with his gospel as to try to do so by our own lights. You know and embody that life with Jesus becomes richer, and that with him it becomes easier to find meaning in everything. You are the ones who are called to live the kerygma, announcing by your own conduct that you know that Jesus Christ loves you, he gave his life to save you, and now he is living at your side and within you to enlighten, strengthen, and free you. By what you have received in the various Mater Ecclesiae campuses of your life, and especially here, you have been formed to love and recognize how loved you are by the blessed fruit of Mary's womb. That you have received a treasure of life and love that can't deceive, and a message that cannot mislead or disappoint, which ennobles and is never out of date. Your mission, simply to give witness to that love, to speak of that beloved, to make him known, so that others may enter into the great stream of joy which brims from his heart, which we call Christianity. by your chastity. You'll show the joy of loving others in the same self-giving, unselfish way with which Christ loves us. By your poverty, you will show the joy that comes from finding the pearl of great price in God's kingdom. By your obedience, you will show the joy of true freedom, which comes from listening to and following God all the way to eternal happiness. In short, you will reveal the beauty of the poor Christ and obedient bridegroom who has called you to be his. Pope Francis has said that consecrated men and women are called to wake up the world and show that there is a better, more radical, and joy-filled way of thinking, acting, and living. In short, a more Christ-like way of life than most in the church and in the world have adopted, and many in the world no longer think possible. You are the alarm clocks ringing to remind people that Christ is with us in time and wants to awaken us to eternity. In this joy-filled but challenging work of the new evangelization, which is your mission, I'd urge you to remember what made that first evangelization, launched from the Jerusalem campus of Martyr Ecclesiae, so successful, and to always keep this in mind. First element was the Holy Spirit, whom Mary, the mother of the church, helped the apostles and disciples to get ready to receive and to respond to with their whole hearts. Mary was always overshadowed by the Holy Spirit, and she taught the early Christians how to be similarly docile, to cooperate with his gifts, to show his fruit, to discern the manifestation of the common good he had given them for all, and to invest the talent for the building up of the church. You are leaving here with the same gift of the Holy Spirit. Let him continue to be your helper and guide. Let him continue to remind you of all that Jesus taught and lead you to all truth. The second element was how the ancient world was converted by the members of the early church, led by the Holy Spirit. Yes, it had to do with what they proclaimed, as we see with St. Peter on Pentecost and St. Paul throughout his missionary journey. Yes, it had to do with some of the signs or the miracles that God worked through them to authenticate those words. But it happened fundamentally because of two reasons. The first was Christian charity. They had a communion among themselves that was unlike any communion the ancients had ever seen. They had so much love for each other that others were busting down the doors of the Domus Ecclesiae to get in. Where in the Roman Empire, if you weren't firstborn, all the other brothers and sisters were begging just to give you a little bit of the inheritance. Christians were selling all that they had to share it with their new brothers and sisters who had just become their brothers and sisters days before. Never forget that the most important way you will proclaim the joy of the gospel is by the joy you will live in your communities, the love you'll have for your fellow consecrated women, the time you'll spend with each other and together with each other with the Lord. That is your most important apostolic work. And the second way the ancient world was evangelized was through martyrdom, through the witness that Christ was worth living for and dying for. Semen Christianorum sanguis martyrum, as Tertullian said 1800 years ago, that the seed of Christians is the blood of the martyrs. And that's still the case. The graduates of Mater Ecclesiae Jerusalem left with a holy parousia, a boldness, a courage inspired by the Holy Spirit that couldn't be intimidated. And it was that same confidence in God, that joy, even in the midst of suffering, that was worth more than thousands of powerful homilies. You're being sent out from Mater Ecclesiae Greenville at a time in which many of our Christian brothers and sisters are being slain for the faith in Iraq and Syria and Nigeria and Kenya and China, so many other places. You're being sent out at a time in which, even here in the United States, some will consider you anti-woman because you hold to Jesus' teachings about the dignity of every human life. Anti-American because you recognize Christ an immigrant and want to welcome them as you would welcome Christ. Bigoted because you hold to the truth Christ has revealed about marriage, and naive because you proclaim and live peace rather than belligerence. Don't be afraid. The same God who evangelized through the bold witness of the members of the early church will be accompanying you. And it is through your fidelity to the Lord when it costs that others will learn about the priceless pearl you're given your life to obtain forever. In the school of Mary Mater Ecclesiae, the great advice given in the campus in Cana ever reverberates. Mary continually points to her son, our soul master, and says, do whatever he tells you. Our prayer, dear graduates of the class of 2015, is that you will follow that sage maternal advice. Find the joy that comes in doing so, and help so many others to enter into the kingdom to which that joy points and where it will know no end. Mater Ecclesiae, Mater Nostra, ora pro nobis, nunc et in saeculum.